Hello. Good day, everyone. Welcome back. It's another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, joined here with...
Hello. It's the Cardboard Samurai from up north in Japan, I think. I don't know the exact region or what he says, but I feel like I got it pretty spot on.
Yokohama region of Japan.
There we go. Yeah, that's his intro. It's me, Ashok, pretending to be Ryan.
Yep, Ryan's out for another episode. He's been pretty busy lately looking for a new job. Knows he's been keeping himself busy, so we thank him for all of his hard work for the moment, but we're going to try and hold down an episode with just the two of us. We didn't record last weekend because we were both out in Chicago for MagicCon, and that's going to be part of what we're talking about this week. Is we want to talk about the Pro Tour that was held on that same weekend. So,
yep, we love the Pro Tour. Yep. So, yeah, do you want to start off by talking about just the metagame breakdown or whatever?
Yeah, let me jump into, like, the metagame breakdown. Just kind of give an idea of what they tweeted out, what we saw from what was resulted. You know, number one deck is Phoenix. I don't think that was a surprise there. Number two tied was between Zoria's Control and Red-Black Midrange. Then we had Lotus Combo coming in at four, Amalia Combo at five, and Boros Heroic at number six. So those top six, I don't think those were any surprises there. After that, we had Izzet and Sol. If you guys have been playing online, you know that's been popping up in popularity. Boros Convoke, which actually I'm surprised to see a little bit below Heroic, but this is, you know, 11 deck counts versus 12. Rakdos Vampires is the one after that, and that one probably is the one that took people by surprise. Then we had some Creativity, some Niv to Light, and four others.
40 others.
Oh, yeah. I was like, that's a low number. Yeah, my mouse was over the zero.
Yeah. So to put it down into perspective, 46 people brought Izzet Phoenix and 40 people brought random decks. Izzet Phoenix being the biggest meta portion, being 17.8%. So as we can see, Pioneer is still the format that everyone hails as. You can play anything. There's a wide variety of decks in the format. You'll ever play against the same deck twice. Really, really, really enjoyable, as a lot of people end up saying, because of the meta diversity. But I think there was not a lot of surprises with the top decks being brought. Phoenix is a really good choice going into the open meta, because I think it's the best deck in the format. I think Control kind of like goes against it. I think the 14% of people bringing Rakdos Midrange is a little crazy. I don't think that deck's that good right now. But yeah, we see Amalia on the lower end because Blue-White's good. Heroic being up there is a little weird, I do admit. Jeskai Creativity, I'm pretty interested about. But it also doesn't surprise me that 40 people brought random one-off decks, because, to be fair, this is anything that was less than six or less players bringing. So,
yeah, so some of those maybe, you know, six of the same deck.
Yeah, could technically
that still wouldn't qualify.
Could technically be some, like, Ignatic Fires in there, like two or three players. So, shout out to those people, whoever brought that.
Yep.
pretty average breakdown. At least I would suggest, at least I would think as much. You know, nothing too shocking. Minus like the 11 Rakdos Vampires, but as you probably are aware, unless you live under a rock, we'll be talking about that in a second.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, so you want to move on to the top eight?
Yeah, let's move on to the top eight. Why don't you start talking about them? I'll try and pull up their decks, make sure
you
got those.
Sure.
Right.
So our top eight was Sampardy on Rakdos Vampires. Then we have Ming Yang Chen on Lotus Hill Combo. We have JED on Izzet Phoenix. Seth Manfield on Vampires. Alec Fredrickson on a Lotus Hill Combo. Christopher Larson on Amalia Combo. We got some Izzet Phoenix by Adam Edelson and Simon Nelson bringing Boros Heroic.
Yeah, sorry to leave you with the entirety of the pronouncing names there.
That's whatever. I do my best. What can I say? You know, if I pronounce one wrong, don't come after me. I'm trying my best out here. I think this would be a good place to dissect Rakdos Vampires and what it ends up looking like, and how it ended up coming to be once we talk about once we come into the metagame and what people are bringing.
Yeah, so do you want to start with the winning list here, Seth Manfield?
Yeah, so
I'm not sure if there's any difference between his and
his teammates.
I don't believe
there was anyone that ended up making any sort of different changes. I think they all kind of registered the same list. So I got to have a little bit of an in on this being the popular deck. I kind of knew a little bit beforehand, which was kind of funny. I heard whispers of this. I heard that this is something that they were testing, or people were testing, because I thought it was pretty funny. Because I have a buddy on CFB, or Team CFB, that was like, yeah, we're bringing some spice. And yeah, so Team CFB ended up settling with this deck list. And the new card that making this deck become a thing is Vein Ripper. It's a card that, again, we did not mention whatsoever in our set review. Did not talk about it.
Fair.
Did not think about it. But I think it's pretty fair because Vein Ripper is a vampire assassin that costs 3/3 black, so 6 mana total, that is flying. Ward sacrifice creature. Gotta keep yawning. Vampires are so boring to me, what can I say? It's a flying ward sacrifice a creature, and then when a creature dies, target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life, and it's a 6/5 flyer. This deck list looks a lot more different than like traditional vampires. Like traditional vampires, you think of like Champion of the Dusk, Kalidus, think about a lot of more of these boomer cards. But the only boomer card that actually ended up making its way into here is Dusk Legion Zealot as a 2/2, by the way. Only a 2/2. But the rest of the core of this deck has 3 Preacher of the Schism and then 4 Blood Tithe Harvester as like the vampires, I'm using quotations, package.
Yeah, I think Preacher of the Schism we do want to kind of call out, because you know, I tested that with vampires I think last season and I thought that was a good addition, but didn't think the deck had legs at that point. That card definitely does a lot. You know, it's a 2/4 for it's 3 mana for 2/4 Death Touch. And when it attacks the player, if your opponent has the most life or tied for most life, you make a 1/1 with lifelink. And if they don't, then you lose life and draw a card. So it's card advantage, or it goes very wide and gets quite aggressive. Either way is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And just, you know, gives a lot of fuel for stuff like your Sorin, mostly.
Yep. Yeah, I think that the fact that Preacher is really good at drawing cards and, like, this deck is really good at gaining life or take a lot of life, like using cards like Bitter Triumph or Dusk Legion Zealot and Thoughtseize to try to like lower your life to try to swarm the board with vampires for those matchups that need it, or if you need to try to draw cards, this card's really good at it. Also being a 2/4, so dodging stomp, dodging 3 damage sources, kind of nice. And then we also
Between that, Shouldred, Vein Ripper, you're kind of putting pressure on your opponent's removal that actually hits your higher toughness creatures, because otherwise what are they gonna do, throw it at like a Dusk Zealot? That doesn't do much.
Yeah, and this deck isn't like all in on vampires, which I think is something that a lot of people have been focusing on whenever they've been building vampires. We're still seeing a playset of Fable, we're still seeing Shouldred, we're still seeing 2 Smuggler's Copter, and we're still seeing like a lot of the black removal being like Fatal Push. There's 1 Bitter Triumph and there's some dresses. There's still a lot of this like hand attack, and like I think the cards that like ended up making this a little bit better is just obviously Fable being able to discard your extra Vein Rippers that are sitting in hand to when you don't have the Sorin, or extra Sorins when you don't have the Vein Ripper, kind of makes it a Splinter Twin situation.
Yeah. Let me go back a little bit of a step. Is what I've kind of heard discussed about this deck is that the main thing that they were looking for is that they kind of had a target on Blue-White.
Yeah.
Blue-White got some new cards looking very powerful with No More Lies. And the thing that they were saying is like, hey, I would love to play a Cavern of Souls deck. So they were looking for something that reasonably played Cavern of Souls, and they weren't really happy with humans. I didn't think I would agree with that. I don't think that's in a good place right now against stuff like Phoenix. So they go like, hey, why don't we take another look at vampires? And that's how they kind of came to this deck of being like, okay, I want something that's going to really prey on those decks with Cavern of Souls and being able to play, you know, still a lot of that red-black mid-range shell and being able to just win that that blue-white matchup makes a huge difference.
100%. And, like, Vein Ripper is, like, super good on its own, too, like, especially against these kind of decks. Because, like, the amount of times where your opponent just kind of, like, it is a 6/5, so it does get hit by Lightning Helix, but your opponent already needs to have done the Phoenix thing to be able to even, like, cast the Lightning or the Lightning Axe on Vein Ripper. Mm-hmm. The war being sacrificed a creature is just, like, lights out against Blue-White, because, like, what are they going to do?
Blue-White especially,
Downtick a Wandering Emperor against it? Like, you need you need to have already made a creature and also be able to sacrifice it, which this deck is just really good at destroying creatures. So, and also the fact that this thing just, like, drains. I remember seeing a screenshot of my buddy having a 2 Flip Fables and a Vein Ripper, and so he would just, like, he spent all of his mana copying 5 Fables and then copied an additional Vein Ripper at end step. Then just at the next end step, you sacrifice them all at the same time.
Well, those, do Fable tokens not exile? I thought they did.
No, they just die. They die into, like, mystery.
Weird. Why would they
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I saw a bunch of triggers on the stack. And that's what I remember seeing. Maybe I'm stupid, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Oh, it does say sacrifice. Yeah, it does say sacrifice. That's super weird for that kind of effect.
Can I say I'm the smartest? But yeah. This deck, and they also tech the sideboard pretty well. For Leyland of the Void, because like, since you were a black deck, you also get to play that against Phoenix, which just kind of lights out a lot of the time. Your main deck against Control was already really good, but they still had two Duresses and a Liliana of the Veil to bring in. And then against the other creature grindy matchups, like against red-black, playing red-black vampires is just, like, so much better. You just turn the format on its head, and you're just kind of like, cool, you're doing this thing where you're casting a Shieldred or, like, these value 3-drops or Bonecrusher Giant. Cool. 6/5, good luck. Best of luck. And then it does trade with, like, Archfiend of Dross, which is a reason that's, like, not absolutely lights out, but Creature of the Schism makes it lights out, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's
take another quick look at the rest of this sideboard. You know, there's some stuff. They threw in one of the new Krenko Buzzcrusher, trying to target that Lotus Field, along with a couple of Damping Spheres. They've got a variety of removal with Rending's Volley, Bitter Triumph, and a couple of Path of Perils, and then Kalidus as an additional 4-drop. Yep.
Yeah, and then for land-wise, there's nothing too crazy other than 3 Caverns. There's also one of each Channel Lands, some Eta Vaults, some Hive. Diverse red black database, but looking at other lists that ended up top aiding, just to see what we see for new cards in the format, we are looking at Adam's Is It Phoenix list. We don't really see anything like too exciting in the main as like new cards. We are seeing some Prismari commands show up, which is kind of interesting as a way to just try to like loot your hand. Yeah, they ended up cutting one sleight of hand for it. They're also playing some Torch the Towers to like try to diversify the removal. Against Amalia, because you know you don't want to die, you always need the removal spells. But Prismari Command, the new addition, is very interesting. Being able to destroy an artifact against Greasefang, which is it's still a deck that you still have to prepare for sometimes. Being able to deal 2 damage and looting away your phoenixes from your own hand. Also, the treasure token is like sometimes relevant. Hasn't ever really been that relevant. We're also seeing new cards in the sideboard. Like Ashiok Dream Render, that card's making a comeback because Niv is technically making a comeback, and it's also just good against Lotus Field. It makes it so their Emergent Ultimatums are kind of bad.
Oh, real bad, yeah.
Kind of bad. Not great, honestly. And then we're only seeing 2 Crackles. We're seeing a 2-2 split between Young Pyromancer and Crackles, which is new and interesting. At least new for me. We're also seeing the Dwarry Disruption over the Spikefield Hazard. Oh.
Spike. Yeah,
Devil hasn't gone. Yeah. But nothing else too interesting about this list, at least.
A lot fewer X1s in the format.
Yeah, and also Quintorius is not something you have to worry about like actively anymore. I don't see anything else that's too interesting in the other Phoenix list. Boros Heroic is also an interesting choice for the weekend because I don't know about you, but I wasn't hearing a whole lot about this deck beforehand.
No, not really. You know, it'd been around, but I feel like it had kind of dropped off a bit. I felt like the Boros Convoke was much more of the popular aggro deck.
Yeah, I think maybe the reason that this one is a little bit more better is I think it has a better time against Phoenix. Blue-White. I think it has a little bit more of a better time against Blue-White. You having a lot of these protection spells, it just kind of just, like, makes it really hard. And, like, you don't eat as much of your hand to, like, march as you do with, like, Boros Convoke, because Gleeful Demolition targeting a token and then having that token be marched, lights out, you're dead on the spot, not close. This being able to play that little more mid-rangey game where like even against Phoenix, like Favorite Hoplite, being able to prevent a lot of damage makes it so like you as long as you're keeping up a one mana spell, you have basically counter spell and they need 2 removal spells, so plays really well into those kind of strategies. Also, it's a really fast deck, so you're able to like kill Blue-White out of nowhere, because like No More Lies costs 2 mana, they need it on that turn, and you can just play your 1-drop or play a 1-drop with a mana up for a God's Willing or a Lauren's Escape. GG easy. It's not I think this deck is like a great meta call over Boros Convoke, because I think Boros Convoke folds to like the other 2 a lot more.
It makes sense. Okay.
It's a little bit more awkward, especially into Rakdos Vampires, but I don't think anyone was predicting Rakdos Vampires for the weekend, so I think that's why we see a lot less of this deck than the other deck. A Also, two Light of Hope. I love that card in the sideboard. Light of Hope's my favorite card. So. Mm.
Light of Hope's so sweet. Light of Hope. Yeah, doing a quick look through if there's anything else newish in, you know, Amalia combo, I don't think is running anything new.
There's the new technology of Aetherflux Brotherwar, which I was trying to talk about forever ago as, like, a possibility, but everyone was like, no, that card's bad. And I'm like, I don't think so. But they're only playing two Collected Company, which is actually kind of interesting. They're also playing the one Skyclave Apparition, which I call heinous, because imagine I'm comboing with Amalia and being like, okay, kill my board, death trigger, give you a token. Like, what? What are we doing here? Yeah. Why? I hate this. But anyways, he won, so obviously he knows more than me. Also, one Scattergrubs.
Less heinous when you have a way to win through a block. There's
also Scattergrubs. There's also three Fauna Shamans in the deck, which I think is pretty funny. The Scattergrubs is heinous, though. I think we can both agree that Scattergrubs should not be.
Especially now that we have, the ones that Surveil, I would think would be even better.
I assume it's for when you're, like, exploring a whole bunch and you just draw one.
Oh, because you can put a card on top, draw it with the Scattered Groves, and then play it?
Yeah, theoretically. I think it's the
idea. Okay, that's not...
That's the idea. I think it's heinous still, but anyways. So the Aetherflux Reservoir is there specifically. So when you combo off with Amalia, and your opponent just, like... and your opponent's, like, very okay with you going to, like, 90, I'm just going to say, well, what deck would this be? Niv. Let's say Niv is very okay with that. Or Blue-White. You're just kind of like, cool, put this Aetherflux Reservoir on top. You need a counterspell for this as well. And, like, Niv does not have the main deck counterspell. Neither does, like, Phoenix. Phoenix is also a deck that could, like, theoretically take advantage of the fact that you're at 90 life and now have no board. So you also now have to have this counterspell. Or, like, a removal spell doesn't do it, right? Because, like, a removal spell on the stack, 50 you. So it's a really interesting technology that I also thought about. So I'm glad that it ended up becoming real. So... validation. I'm not an idiot. Let's go.
I will say, you know, I'd said it originally, but Archroot Charm still showing up in Lotus Field.
It is. And I think that's pretty fair, especially when we're, like, main decking the Dragonlord Jamoka. I think that becomes a lot better.
Okay.
I don't even know what this Unauthorized Exit does, or why this Silence has the border it does in the photo. Wait, there's an Atrox in the sideboard? Wait. What is... This is weird.
This is Alex Fridrickson's Lotus Field combo we're looking at from the top eight.
That's weird. That's so weird. I'm trying to think of why. I don't even know what this Unauthorized Exit card does. There's also this...
I mean, I assume Atrox draws you a bunch of cards if you play it,
That is what that does, but I don't know why it's here. It's kind of just like, I don't know, uninvited to the party and it showed up. But, there's also Soul Partition, which I know is, like, an Asia special. Whenever I look at deck lists for, like, PT coverage, or sorry, RC coverage, there's always, like, a Soul Partition deck in, like, the Asian, or the Asia-Pacific region. And I'm always like, that's just a card they like. That's all I can think of. Also, shout out to this guy.
I mean, how do you feel about Kutsil?
That card is so... he's playing his own Krenko's Bunge Crusher. Wait a second. Bro, this guy cocked.
He's having a good time with the sideboard. I mean, sideboard of Lotus Field combo in the current meta, I don't feel like it's that pinched.
Yeah, you can do what you want with it.
You definitely get to have some of these funos.
Yeah, you can do what you want with it. And it's kind of wild that we got here. You know, it's like he messed up his soup, as the kids say. But holy, the more and more I look at this list, the more and more I'm like, what the heck? It's okay. There's also, and when we switch over, right, I see a little bit more of, like, what I think I would see when I see Lotus Field combo. Like, this guy is playing the one of Fae of Wishes, which is, like, still kind of boomer technology. Only three Archdruid's Charm, so. Oh, dude, can you guess what card in the sideboard makes me upset? There's also an Atraxa. Anyways, you know what other card makes you upset?
Leyline?
There's one Leyline of Sanctity in the sideboard. There is one Leyline. Also, I don't know what matchup we're bringing in this additional Emergent Ultimatum in, but I'm here for it. I don't know what matchup. You're just born one. Whatever. Also, one Voyaging Sadar. Like, I don't know. I don't know anymore. Also, this guy's not playing any Shaman.
Well, there's two main deck. I think that's
There's two in the main deck. Part. Okay, then it's fine. Then it's the one on the sideboard I don't hate as much, though. But there's also a Zagoth Triumph, which is kind of funny. I don't think I've seen that in a Lotus Field list in a while. Bro.
Interesting.
Lotus Field players cook way too much. Anyways.
I guess Zagoth is for when you don't have, or when they're dampening sphere your Lotus Field and you still find a way to like emergent ultimatum the hard way.
Yeah, I guess you can, like, copy it or whatever. Makes sense. Okay. I'm less upset. I'm less upset. Okay, cool. But anyways, yeah. So Seth Matfield ended up winning in the finals against Heroic, which is a fun match to watch. I watched it live, and I got a bag from Reed Duke while I was watching, which was kind of funny. It was Reed Duke, Mengu, and someone else casting it in the commander area or whatever, that area that was really loud before. I got some free stuff from Mengu, so shout out Mengu. Or not Mengu,
nice, Reed Duke. Nice.
Shout out Reed Duke. Yeah, so that's the kind of effect it had on the meta. I think what we're going to do for the rest of this episode is talk about some of the challenges that ended up being ruined from Rakdos Vampires becoming a meta deck. And then at the very end, we can talk about better ways to try to, like, deal with this.
Perfect. Yeah, I did want to talk about, like, what's the best ways to actually fight Rakdos Vampires, because we'll definitely see the impact of it when we go through these lists here, but let's see what's working and what's not.
Okay, so if we're looking, it's from down up. So the first one was on the Friday, where it was all spoiled. Looking at top 8, first and second, it's Rakdos Vampires with another one. That's Rakdos Midrange. But then we see Azorius Control, Quintorius combo, Azan Grease Fang, Niv to Light, Izzet Phoenix, and then Grixis Phoenix. Oh my god, tabletop price for Rakdos Vampires right now is $800.
Yeah, I was definitely going to discuss that, because I think that's an issue. I mean, part of that's just Vein Ripper being a new card and not being heavily printed, and it's a mythic as a 4-of. Card's $100, you know, for a playset. Also, Sorin has yet again spiked. Sorin's one of those cards where, like, I love the card. Card came out, and I was like, I'll wait for that to drop.
Yeah. Never did.
And it just never did. Not once. Never did. This seems like the kind of deck they should just print wholesale, print the entire PT winning deck list as a...
As like as a buy or an the new format or whatever.
Yeah, call it $60 or something and make the format good.
Bro, imagine Fable going for... Oh, dude, there's too many cards in this deck. That would ruin the economy. Think of the economy.
I would love to ruin the economy. No. That's pretty much all I dream of.
How? You cannot ruin my economy.
Give us the Thought Seizes. Give us the Fables. Give us everything we need to make Pioneer great.
No, please. I've invested a small fortune into Magic cards. You can't make them worthless. SMH. But anyways, yeah. So I know how this finals ended up working out. Is like what? So yeah. So Rakdos Vampires first and second. So that means that we can figure out that Quintorius combo might not have a good matchup against Rakdos Vampires. I don't know how the matchup ended up going, but they lost. That means it has to be a bad matchup.
I mean, maybe not. I was going to ask if it does have a decent matchup, because you talked about, we don't have to worry about Quintorius anymore, but that could be one of those things sitting on the sideline, you know, doesn't care about a 6-5 at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they care about a turn 3 on the play.
Yeah, they also care about the fact that they're like their entire deck is just Thought Seizes and Duresses and whatever. Like, that's a little bit more of the problem. But click into this Quintorius combo deck, and it's kind of interesting. Looking at it, their sideboard is 3 Krenko's Buzz Crushers, 2 okay. Elish Dorn Mother of Machines, a Vraska Relic Seeker. So apparently their sideboard plan is, so we're gonna cut the Spark Doubles, we're gonna cut the release, actually probably not the Release to the Winds, you can probably keep the Release to the Winds, but you're gonna cut the Spark Doubles, and is there any other clone effects? I think that's just those. Yeah, and then cut the Release to the Winds, and then we're going to board in Krenko's Buzz Crusher, and we're just gonna play mono Krenko. Actually, you probably can keep the Spark Doubles and just keep comboing with the Buzz Crushers. You can probably just, like, put Buzz Crushers into play. And that's good enough. That's kind of funny. I don't know what the mobs are here for, though. I don't know what matchup we're trying to, like, double up our Discover triggers for, but I'm here for it.
Well, it's clearly the same time you're bringing in Buzz Crusher.
Oh, you're gonna double your Buzz Crusher. Could I be so stupid?
I guess you could also double Carnosaur. Maybe there's a...
I don't know what that's for, though. Just,
yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just work here, honestly. I don't really know. Or the Vraska Relic Seeker. Can you tell me what matchup this is for?
Red Black.
Yeah, I mean, anything's a soft workout against Red Black, I guess. But anyways, looking down, we see Greasefang kind of making a little bit of a resurgence, just like in this one instance. Nidalee, okay, so I should also talk about Nidalee and why it's coming back, and because, like, I'm the five-color guy, you know, I love playing these bad decks. Nidalee is...
A lot of good two-color cards, I would say, is the
answer. The ones being printed especially are Lightning Helix, and, what's the other one? The one that just came out.
Normalize. That's not the main.
Yeah, well, okay. It can be, is the thing. These two cards kind of make Niv being able to be this control deck as well. Also, with the addition of Analyze the Pollen, this card has been really impressive whenever I've cast it. This is the one that's kind of like Collect Evidence 8, go find a basic, or you can go find a basic land, but if you collect the evidence or whatever, you can go find a creature instead. Being able to find more of your creatures is a lot more of the time. Makes it so you don't have this reliance on Bring the Light like you used to, where it's like, oh, I didn't draw Bring the Light, I died. This card bridges the mid game of being able to go fix your mana while also being able to go find your threat later in the game, because collecting Evidence 8 is not hard with this deck. It is very easy to collect Evidence 8. You just kind of need to Bring to Light for one thing, and you're good to go. Another card that we never ended up talking about that's ended up being good is Urgent Necropsy. I don't know. Two, green, black. As an additional cost to cast this card, collect Evidence X, where X is the total mana cost of things that you're targeting. It's an instant. So it's destroying up to an artifact, a creature, a tar, an enchantment, and a planeswalker. So this kind of removes everything you need in a pinch, which is kind of nice. Anything removal is good. You just have to be able to have the cards in your bin for it, which I don't feel like is that hard. So Nib's coming back. It has a really good blue-white matchup because you just kind of have all of these threats that they have to counter while also being able to play this mid-range game. I haven't figured out how good it is versus the Vampires deck, but I would suspect it's not that horrible against it. Being able to sack your carry ads to be able to kill the vampire.
She's very good.
I promise you I wasn't yawning this much. I actually sat down for the podcast and started infinitely yawning. Also, you have the chance to go Bring to Light for a deadly cover-up, which is another one of these collect evidence cards. To be able to just like yoink all your opponent's main rippers and never have to worry about that card again. So I feel like...
That's fair. Yeah, I know I was talking down on the cover-up when we first covered it showing up in these Niv lists, but yeah, that seems like a reasonable place to feel much better about it once you've gotten rid of that one thing.
Yeah, because like that card is a problem, obviously, for this deck to deal with. I'm not saying it's like nuts or anything, but you just being able to deal with all of those cards kind of just like matters a lot in this matchup, and you only need an additional card to be able to collect evidence for because the Bring to Light's already in the graveyard when you're casting it.
That said... I wouldn't hate, what is the other one that's 5 mana that also exiles Planeswalker's mana value 3 or less?
Shadow's Verdict.
Yeah, Shadow's Verdict doesn't seem terrible against that same matchup either.
Well, I mean, like, then you're not getting rid of the Vein Ripper. That's the problem, right?
Yeah, if you're not getting rid of the Vein Ripper, this is probably where you want to be.
I mean, it's not as horrible as you're suggesting it may be because, like, the fact that it exiles, because if it was Destroy, I'd call you an idiot, but you get the pass right now. You get the pass for now.
That's pretty much it. There's an Izzet Phoenix and one of this Grixis.
I'm pretty sure it's
Phoenixes.
Just splashing this is just blue black Phoenix.
I've seen
splashing.
Yeah, so it really is blue black Phoenix is what it is. I've seen a number of these lists before. So yeah, pretty much it's just, you know, it's running black removal more so than the red removal, and it's, you know, not really worrying too much about having red because you're mostly not trying to hard cast your Phoenixes anyways.
I think the only thing that's interesting about this deck is it's playing 3 Cryptic Coat in the board just as a way for these mid-range games of you, whenever your graveyard's kind of just dead, you have the ability to, like, sink all your mana into making Cryptic Coats.
I don't think I like that as much as I like, being able to sideboard into... Crackling Drake, yeah.
I don't know. I think Cryptic Coat's, like, really hard to deal with in Pioneer. Not as hard as it is to deal with in Standard, but I think the thing that I also hate... Okay, this is a PSA for all Phoenix players, and this is my rant. If you're playing Jangatha, I hate you. You're a lesser person to me, because that means that you're not playing the Temporal Trespass combo. And that means...
And not only that, you're telling your opponent you don't have the Temporal Trespass combo.
And especially with this sideboard, where your sideboard cards are Languish and... One Children of the Apocalypse to turn off your Jeff. What are we doing? Can we not? Can we just, like, play normally? Can we have an additional Children in our sideboard and play like an adult? Like, you might have a little bit of a gotcha factor in like the first 5 minutes of the game. The second that you go reveal Jangatha, play Water Grave Tapped. That cat's out of the bag. You've already done your thing.
Yeah.
You're done. You're done. Your opponent knows. Like, what? Like, your opponent's just kind of like, to be fair, maybe your opponent's not newer to Pioneer and maybe doesn't recognize right away, but come on. All right. If you're trying to go for gimmick factors in Pioneer, I'm going to call you a loser, respectfully.
Yeah, I could pass on that. That seems mediocre at best.
All right. You want to move on to Pioneer Challenge number 24 on the 24th?
Sure.
Oh my god, look at... Oh, wait, actually. Azorius Spirits versus Jeskai Indomitable Creativity. You want to read the rest of it, though? The rest of the top of it?
Azorius Spirits, Jeskai Indomitable Creativity, Rakdos Vampire, Rakdos Vampire, Rakdos Vampire, Rakdos Vampire, Rakdos Vampire, and is it Phoenix? Yep. And then Ninth and Tenth are also Rakdos Vampires.
Yep. A lot of Rakdos Vampires.
Seems like a
I
good
think
deck.
People caught on that it might be good. There's only 20 copies in this. 69 players. There's 20 people that registered it.
Yeah, so it's like a third of the meta right there.
Yeah, it's 30% of the meta right there. Right then and there. But talking about Azorius Spirits, looking at Remeff's list, Remeff is a diehard fan of this deck, regardless of how good it is. But looking at it in a sense of, like, is it actually good against the red-black, it looks extremely tacked for the red-black matchup. With two main deck Invasion of Gopikans and four main deck Wedding Announcements, like, this guy came here to be red-black, and I think he did that. Looking at it, I think you kind of have a good matchup against the Vein Ripper deck, because you're pretty good at being able to sacrifice the ward creature, but I don't think your opponent's ever getting to a point where they can, like, Sorin. Because you're going to be Invasion of Gobekanning them. It's taking the card from their hand into exile. Hey, your Vein Ripper is now 8 mana. Best of luck.
Yeah. And you can't Sorin it into play. That's what's nice about it.
Also, you have your 4 Normalize with a Spell Pierce and 2 Get Lost if it ever hits play. Also, the Spellcaller is pretty good card. I like Spellcaller. Also, this deck's playing Smuggler's Copter to try to loot away bad cards into good cards, which I think is kind of nice, especially with all these dorks being small. It's also playing a Catilda. And can you read the flavor text on Cadilda for me?
Protection from
vampires. That's protection from vampires. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Blue White Spirits seems like a pretty good place to be if you're playing against red-black vampires. So, I mean,
red-black vampires. I'm not sure how great this would be against standard red-black.
Yeah, this might be a little bit worse into it. But, I mean, you're playing a playset of Wedding Announcement in the main. So, I assume you're getting game one. So, I'm not worried about that. But okay. Past that, a little bit more awkward.
The 3-0 Smuggler Copter makes me go, like, can that be right?
but I mean, like, he had to make room for the 1-0 Wandering Emperor in the main. And the Settle the Wreckage in the board. Like, there you go. I don't know, man. You gotta make space somewhere.
Yeah.
But looking at Jeskai Indomitable Creativity, this is one of the decks that we were talking about with the meta for the PT or whatever. Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna have to read a card in the sideboard. But so this is a Yorion Atraxa deck, where you're just trying to Indomitable Creativity into Atraxa to try to refill your hand. We're seeing some cards that are interesting. We're seeing a place, or two Normalize, 3 Lightning Helix, 2 Memory Deluge, 2 Chain to the Rocks, 4 Omen of the Sea. You know, we can't touch that card. 4 Tobin Speedo. Like, this looks like all the good parts of Blue White with, like, a little bit of more bad cards to be able to play in Indomitable Creativity. To refill our hand, but I think that's fine. So,
you know what I'm going to shake my head at here is Krenko's Buzz Crusher.
Yeah,
again.
It's 2 in the board. Yeah,
you know, we were talking about Quintoria's giving up their plan to play Buzz Crusher. I guess if it works, if you know resolving 1 or 2 Buzz Crushers ends Lotus Field's game, I guess that's worth it. But like, are you siding out Atraxa then?
Yeah, probably. It's probably just good enough because, like, I don't know, if you go turn 3 Fable into turn 4, into Krenko's Brushers, and then you can just keep copying them afterwards, like, kind of seemed pretty good. I thought you were going to shake your head. Okay, we'll read this card together because it's in the sideboard. Ovika Enigma Goliath.
Oh, see, you know, I play some amount of EDH, so
I don't know this card, so I'm gonna read it for the viewers, because maybe our viewers don't play EDH and are good people. So it's a flying 6/6, ward 3, pay 3 life. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, create X 1/1 Phyrexian Goblin tokens.
with haste,
or they get haste,
where X is the meta value of the spell. So Shark Typhoon on steroids, kind of, maybe, I don't know. One of the things, but yeah. So this card's kind of nuts, honestly. But you got to get it into play, and I guess if you're a creativity, I don't know what matchup. I guess it's for matchups when they play cards that get rid of your Atraxas. So Unmoored Egos, Necromancers, Slaughter Games, those kind of decks. So
just to have a little bit of a variety.
Yeah, a little bit of a variety. And hope that they don't name creativity, because I don't see us playing a Transmortify either. So kind of interesting there.
Yeah.
I'm 99% sure all of these lists are copy and pasted. There's a couple of changes. And our 8th place list has a couple of changes, and that's about it. What are their changes? Their sideboard is different. That is it. That is the only change. Sideboard is different. Main deck looks the same. Exactly the same. PT list. Bolobo. Yeah.
Ramping. You're playing more Damping Sphere instead of Buzz Crushers. That looks like the difference there.
Yeah, Bolovo is playing another Dampening Sphere over a Buzzcrusher, and that's the only difference. Wow. I love Magic. Don't you love Magic?
Yep. Absolutely.
But we don't see any new decks other until Phoenix in this other slot, and I don't think the Phoenix list that ended up in 5th is interesting. Oh, sorry. There's 2 Ashiok Dream Renders in the main. That's interesting.
8.
That's crazy. That's insanity.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, like, I guess it mills yourself. I guess.
It does, yeah.
I guess it's not that bad, but you can't even get this off Picklock Prankster. SMH.
Ooh, that is definitely an issue.
SMH. All right.
Errata needed.
Looking at 25th, let's see how many Vampires lists we see. Oh, there's one in first. So we found out that Convoke is not a Vampire's killer because it lost to it in the finals. Third place being Mono Black Discard. 4th place, Azoria Spirits. 5th place, Izzet Phoenix. 6th place, Amalia Combo. 7th place, Mono Black Discard. 8th place, Hidden Stirrings. So, Mono Black Discard.
Anything new in the discard deck? We've been seeing here and there some of these Waste Not decks.
Look, there's an Alcazal. That card's seeing some play, so shout out to that card. But
yeah,
it's not honestly looking like we're seeing anything too new. Just Languish. There's some of the ends. It just looks like the same poop pile it's always been, to be honest.
And hey, if, Ashiok is in a good place in the meta right now, it's not the worst deck to run it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, this does look like a 2 Ashiok deck. Wait, what the heck is a Glistening Deluge? Wait, all creatures get -1/-1 until end of turn. If they're green or white, they get an additional -2/-2. Bro, this guy broke the format.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at the third place list, the sideboard card that I've never seen before, and I gotta read.
Got
Glistening
it.
Deluge. Never heard of this card. Shout out to this guy for finding it. There's also a Phyrexian Arena in the board, which I love seeing. I love that card. Just good old-fashioned Magic. Is this other guy have anything interesting? I didn't see anything cool here. He's playing a Maze Mind Tome. He's a Giga Chad.
And he's got some graveyard trespassers.
Oh, there's a Davriel in the board? This guy.
Oh, Davriel's good stuff.
There's also a Raven Man. Okay, I like this guy. I bet you he has, like, my shoes IRL or something. He's, like, a classy guy.
All right, anything new in the, if we scroll down here, anything that's top 64,
so,
top 30?
So looking at second place, though, because I want to talk about the changes to Convoke that have happened with the new set.
Sure.
I remember when we were on spoiler seasons, and I was like, yeah, Novice Inspector probably replaces Voltaire and Epicure. Actually, they can all exist. They all get to exist. They all get to have all of their one drops. They get to play 4th Novice, 4th Raven, 4th Voltaren. They even get to play Case of the Gateway Express. So they have more removal spells and another Anthem in the main.
Okay.
And they're also playing the big fan of that. Yeah, they're playing their main deck Thalia's again. I assume this deck probably has a pretty hard time beating a Bane Ripper, but I mean, you can just aggro it out, try to make your opponent's Zorns cost a little bit more. It looks like it probably has a pretty hard time trying to beat a Preacher of the Schism, but. Yeah, I don't know how this deck.
Hey, as long as you've got the turn two Gleeful, the turn 3 Convoke, or maybe even turn 2 Convoke, and then
whack them.
You can still whack them. Yeah, whack them.
Whack them again.
Or Imidane them.
It looks like our Azorius Spirits player probably queued into the Boros Convoke player and the discard against Vampires. So because I assume this is the same deck that just kind of this is the same deck that trounced yesterday, which makes sense. Yeah. I do think I know we're kind of like getting towards like the halfway or like near the end towards this recording. So I'm gonna just quickly like cover. I think the decks thus far that have stand out to me without looking at the last challenge that are good against the meta of vampires is Azorius Spirits. And I want to say Niv is probably fine into it. I don't want to say good.
I was going to guess Niv too, yeah. You know, that Niv has always been good at going over the top of things.
I also think maybe this Jeskai Indomitable Creativity deck has some game against it. Being able to put a 7-7 in front of a 6-5 seems pretty good, especially when that card has lifelink. I also think the fact that this card deck has the ability to play main deck Wraths while also being able to recover the life loss, because you can't really play Wraths against the Vampires deck because Vein Ripper does drain you for two for everything that dies.
Yeah.
So you do need a way to be able to either kill the Vein Ripper itself or kill the things around it and then it, or regain the life.
Or play Exile Removal, you could Farewell or something.
Or this deck can like gain the life back, which I think is the bigger thing. I think the Jeskai Indomitable Creativity deck was also playing some amount of Sunfalls. If I remember correctly, this one isn't, but because this one cut the one that I was talking about in 14th is not, because it is playing not Yorion, but the Yorionless ones. So, looking at the last one then, 302. So this is an entire week later. This is the one that literally happened on the Saturday as we're talking, and oh my god, vampires didn't win. Vampires in 6 and 7. Vampire players in shambles. Hidden Stirrings ended up winning with Izzet Phoenix in second. Malia Combo in third, Izzet Phoenix in fourth, Hidden Stirrings in fifth, 6th and 7th, Rakdos, and then our Quintorious Combo guy made a comeback. He's back again in 8th.
You know what I will shout out is I just put it kind of the 2 and 2 together of like, yeah, hey, we shut down their Emergent Ultimatum. They're also now playing 8 Sylvan Scrying effects. That means that those Ashiok we've been talking about do get a lot better. They do get a lot better against this deck.
Yeah, and like, they only have the Odawara to be able to bounce it, the one of Odawara. It's not Biseju-able. So, and this list looks like it's the one that I was talking about that played the one sideboard Emergent Ultimatum from the PT. But it looks like there's a couple of changes in the sideboard. Oh, I finally get to read it.
Yeah, they're still having fun with their sideboards. Okay, I said, they can do whatever they want.
I get to read what Unauthorized Exit does. It returns target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. You surveil one. Card's busted.
Oh, I thought you knew that.
There's a Manaform Hellcut in the board. What does this do? It makes a XX Dragon Illusion, Flying in Haste, and it exiles it at the end step. Wow. Card's busted. Card is busted. There's also a Realmcloak Giant in the board. Huh.
Yeah, I'm trying to see why that would be their sweeper of choice. I guess because it's also then just 7-7.
Yeah. Also, bro, Bone Crusher Giant stonks all the way up. All the way up. Doesn't kill Bone Crusher. Lotus Field in shambles. Really it though. I don't see anything else that's too exciting. There's the main deck, Dragonlord Jaboka.
Let's see a quick look if there's any other new cards hidden around here.
Did Quintorious guy change his sideboard at all? Oh, he did actually. There's no Krenko's Buzz
Crusher. We've got a few Boros Aggro lists. Those are in the realm of discussion. I think we talked about this deck once, but like the list here in 21st. I guess that's just a
this is heroic.
Heroic, but it's got Fugitive Codebreaker.
And Lightning Helix.
Yeah, there you go. Lightning Helix.
Ow. Lightning Helix.
I thought we had seen some more traditional Boros Aggro looking lists, but not...
Oh, whoa. There's a Modern Green deck in 12. How did I almost miss that? There's two Woodland Bellowers. There's no Nykthos. Oh.
Oof.
Can you tell me about what this list will make me upset? Do you know? Let's play the fun game that everyone loves. What made Ashiok upset today?
Let's see. I can usually do this.
There's two things. Okay, I found two things.
Okay, give me a hint. Is it something that's not there?
It's something that's in the main deck and something in the sideboard. Both of these upset me.
I mean, is this Reverend Hunter?
It's this Reverend Hunter. What is this doing?
That would make you mad.
Okay. We're not playing, so Reverend Hunter, because I probably have to read this card, because not everyone knows what this card does. Two and a green, Human Archer. When it ETBs, you put 1/1 counters on it, equal to your devotion, and it's a 1/1. What is this card doing here? Could we not find a better card? You know, we're only playing two Pelucanos Reborns, which we're playing that card without Nykthos, but we're here, so.
See, it's one of those things where, like, I have to assume there's some amount of budget consideration in this deck.
I assume no budget because we're on Modo. If this is a paper tournament,
it's,
maybe.
it's nice to assume that, but like I feel like you can't 100%. Like the fact that there's also no Archdruid charms even in the sideboard, that seems a little bit unusual.
Well, okay, so there's been a Modo thing that makes it so like that card is like piss cheap. All of the new Murders cards are piss cheap because when Modo crashed at one point, and a lot of people were in events.
Oh yeah, they opened like full sets of stuff.
They were supposed to be giving people booster packs of Murders, but instead they accidentally gave everyone like 8 full sets. So there was just an absorbent amount of full sets given out to people. So all Murder cards, like a full set of Murder cards online right now is $17.
Oh, wow. A Vein Ripper is 16 ticks?
Yeah, that's...
Or 4 ticks. It
has probably gone up since then, but it was at 17 at one point. So...
Okay.
Yeah, because my friend opened a set and was like, why is this only 17 ticks? And I'm like, ah, I know why. But the other thing that makes me upset is the 2 Leyland of the Voids in the board. What are we doing? Okay. Hmm. Why do we have 2 Leyland of the Voids in the board? Can we please like play one or some Tormod scripts or something? Please. Let's be adults. Yep, also, yep. 1 Biseiju in the main. We're mono green. We can play 2. I think we can play 2. Maybe budget on that one, sure. I'll give this guy that. But come on. Also, I like how there are non-Coco threats are 2 Woodland Bellowers and an Asuka Chariots.
See, there you go. The one Reverend Hunter, it's there as a target for your Woodland Bellower.
Dude, we have a 3-3. Let's go.
You'd think it would be something that like has some utility. Like, you know, there are good Woodland Bellower targets that destroy a artifact or enchantment to enter. That kind of thing. Yeah. Well, there's better than Reclamation. Reclamation Sage, I don't think, is playable anymore.
Well, I want it to be playable, so it can be. Anyway.
Sure, but why not play the, you know, the 3-4 or play, God, I'm sure there's something else better.
There probably is. Infinite Guard's better, but we're here, so. Oh, well. Anyway. Trying to think if there's anything else that I want to talk about with this. No, nothing that looks too interesting, honestly.
So let's talk real quick about what you think would be, you know, not even looking at what's meta right now, but what ideally would be good against this Vampire's deck.
So either something that kills it quickly enough or disrupts it enough to be able, like Azoria Spirits, I think got it right because that deck is able to disrupt the opponent on the stack and in the hand a little bit with like Invasion. But it's able to disrupt it while also putting on a fast enough clock to be able to pressure them. And also not caring about Preacher that much, because I think that's the interesting dichotomy, right? Because, like, Vampires attacks you from the hand, so it, like, shreds your hand apart with, like, discard spells, and then it also just puts into play the 6/5. So you need to be able to interact with it on the stack, or you need to be able to interact with their hand, so that they also can't do that. So, you know what they say, an answer to a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So if you're also playing Vampires, that's also fine. But not everyone can afford Vampires, not everyone wants to play Vampires. So yeah, we're going to end up having to move to Azoria Spirits. Azoria Spirits being able to answer it with Spellcaller, No More Lies, Invasion, and also just having these good mid-range threats like Wedding Announcement to be able to just, and also having these like spirits that don't get blocked by Preacher. Good cards. Other ways are exile based for mass removal. So I think Sunfall is going to get a lot of equity in Pioneer now, just as like a way to be able to remove Vein Ripper without literally paying all the life for it. Like, I was going to bring up that this Quintorius combo guy ended up cutting all of his Cranko's Buzz Crushers in the board for Sunfalls. That's the way that he wants to win this matchup now, is go Trumping Carnosaur into Sunfall and then kill his board. And hopefully that's good enough. Is it? Probably not, but we're here. So these are decks like Blue-White. Moving on to Sunfall, and also this Creativity deck, I think also has a lot of arm or reach against it, because it's really good at killing the creatures. It's really good at putting in a 7/7 into play to be able to like block or trade. And also it's just like regains the life a lot quicker and goes over top. Like, you have to go over top of it value wise. That is also something that Niv does. Niv also trades. It can outvalue them. You can also have the ability to have utility to be able to like slaughter games with like Bring to Light, their Vein Rippers if you need to, or if it's already in play, you can deadly cover up, pay the tax, get rid of your guy. I think these three decks that kind of do a really good job of it. I think we're going to see a little bit of a downtick of Izzet Phoenix, because I don't think that deck has a good matchup. I don't imagine it does, because it probably can't really beat the Vein Ripper starts, but it can probably do fine against the other starts. But it looks like their sideboard is pretty teched for Phoenix, so have some reservations about that. But other than that, okay. I think those are the takes. I don't know if you disagree, agree, or how you feel.
Yeah, I think those are probably good answers. I want to play around with that, see if there's anything outside of those that would make sense. Yeah, it definitely does seem like it's tough to beat the, you know, the mid-range plan and the Thoughtseize plan and the we've got a 6-5 in play plan.
I also want to point towards something that I think I haven't seen a whole lot of, but maybe in theory is fine. I think a Malia combo might be fine into it. Being okay. able to, like, go infinite with your life and then destroying the boards, so you don't really care about the Vein Ripper drain. When you're dealing with everything, you just kind of have to beat the mid red black mid plan, which got a lot worse, right? Because you have to make room for this Vampire's package. So that means they're cutting cards like Bone Crusher Giant, which kind of really put Amalia in the dirt. And they're forcing them to play these cards like Path of Peril on the board and a lot less of this instant speed removal. So you just kind of have to survive the hand attack, because like I think all their only main deck removal spell was one Bitter Triumph with two in the board. So pray for that. Oof, and then yeah. I assume you'd be good enough. Okay. Yeah, I think Amalia might have a good matchup. Not sure yet. I'd have to try it myself. But. Yeah, that's all she wrote then, I think.
Yeah, that's going to bring us the end of our episode here. So why don't you guys, if you like what we're talking about, we love to talk about Magic. So go ahead and follow us at MTG Pioneer is the place where you can find all of our links to our podcast, as well as a link to our Discord, where you can have even more Magic conversations with boring old us.
Yeah. And it's your boy Ashiok, you know, for the close. Yep. Going to talk a little bit more about some other stuff other than Pioneer. So, yeah, we were in Chicago. I got to meet Kevin. Kevin is a tall guy, and he's exactly what I thought he'd be. He said he was an average Magic player, and well, he looks like it, but so do I. So I was playing Standard over the weekend, and there was the Standard 75k. I ended up registering Boros Control, which is kind of like this Lightning Helix, Geological Appraiser, Quintorius Khan, Wandering Emperor type mid-range deck that really tries to get a lot of equity out of its cards. I ended up with a round one draw, so the entire day I was against like Esper, Domain, Control. And I think that's kind of a place where I wouldn't mind being at. So, yeah, I ended up just killing a whole bunch of people. Ended the day one at 6-1-1. Had a really good shot at the PT because top 8 got to PT. And then I ended up 3-3 on day 2. So I ended up finishing 29th, which was good for $500 cash. But because I live in Canada, they ended up taking $150 away because for taxes, and I'd have to submit a tax form to be able to get the rest of them.
Well, yeah, expense your flight as part of the cost of you making that money, and you should be able to.
Yeah, so I have to do a little bit extra work for the extra $150, but yeah, yep. Love American taxes. I that's why I get my dual citizenship, so I get all the monies.
There you go. That's why we do it.
But yeah, that's all she wrote. I don't know. If you want to talk about your Chicago experience.
All right, well, that's going to bring us the other episode. Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, any last shout-outs?
No shout-outs. I was wondering if you want to talk about your Chicago experience.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm a boring guy. I didn't want to play in the Standard. Obviously not on the Pro Tour, so I played a lot of EDH, which was fun. You know, I never really played with strangers before. It was nice to just sit down and play a bunch of games. I saw a ton of content creators that I know and love. And pretty much talked to very few of them because I'm just a shy dude. So I was just like, oh, I know that person. Oh, I know that person from Twitter. Oh, I know that person from the Pro Tour. And yeah, good time though.
I'm glad you had a good time. And so did I. I got to meet Mingu. I got to meet LSV because, like I said, friend on the testing team. So, you know, just got to talk to him for a little bit.
Perfect.
But, yeah, that's all she wrote. Okay, now you can actually wrap up. Now you can wrap up.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be the end of our episode. Thank you guys for listening. We are First Pioneers Podcast. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Your First Pioneers are...
Ripping out.
Vein ripping out.